Amazing Grace. God's amazing grace began in eternity past and will continue into eternity future. As for a few brief seasons, his grace is poured out over the entire human race. 6,000 years of amazing grace, and his grace continually draws you and me, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus, that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus demonstrates God's amazing grace. It demonstrates God's gift of saving, sanctifying, and glorifying grace. It shows what he has done by paying the price for sin and breaking the power of sin and death. And so I want to share just one small example of this amazing grace. A demonstration of God's amazing grace working through just one of his children. A testimony of my close friend and sister in Christ. A testimony of the way that God has worked in one life. An assurance that God can work through every life that comes to him. She writes, "Amazing Grace. This hymn is one of my favourites because it speaks of Father God's amazing grace. It was written in times when slavery was commonplace, and people were reaching out and crying out in their circumstances. I wanted to share with you the truths written in this hymn, which means so much to me, and how it reflects the amazing grace that has never failed to abound in my life. Amazing grace! How sweet the sound! How wonderful is Father God's grace! Without it, where would we be? Living in sin? Feeling the effects of our sin? No hope? No future? No promise of eternal life? In condemnation? It is music to my ear. There is no sweeter sound than the assurance of Father God's grace and the evidence of his grace in my life and the life of others. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, how precious is his saving grace. He saved me, I'm born again. He sent his only son to die for me, for us, for our sins, so that we may be forgiven and reconciled to him with the promise of eternal life. There was no worse wretch than me when I gave my life to Jesus. No worse past. Yet Father God's grace was sufficient for me. It covered all my past, my sins, my hurts, and assured me of a sure and certain hope for my future. Without him, I am nothing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, when Father God saved me, he'd already found me. In fact, I wasn't lost to him ever. He knew me before I was born. He knitted me together in my mother's womb. Oh, I was lost to the world, lost to sin, lost to others, lost in my past, lost in my pain, in my past hurts. Oh, but not lost to Father God. Oh, I was well and truly lost. No sat-nav could get me back on the right track. I'd gone so far down the roads that it seemed that my life would never get back on the right track. Oh, I once was lost. I once was blind. But now I see. Oh, Father God removed the scales from my eyes and caused me to see. I saw the pit of sin I was in, the effect it had on my life, the effect it had on others. I saw the privilege of knowing him as my personal saviour, the promise of a relationship with him through faith and prayer and worship. I saw the assurance of eternal life. And I now see the hand of Father God in my life, from creation, through Jesus' coming and resurrection to his saving grace. Oh, I see the errors of my ways and the ways I should be. I see the benefits and the honour of having a personal relationship with my Father God. I see the assurance of being reconciled to him for all eternity, from Genesis to Revelation. Oh, it's all in his word. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. "Fear not," he said, "for mighty dread had seized their troubled minds." Oh, this chunk of scripture, replayed in the classic Christmas carol while shepherds watched, says it all. How we get ourselves when we don't just let go and let God. When we don't trust Father God in our lives and situations. And when we don't allow his grace to abound in our lives. In some situations in life, it's inevitable. And sometimes appropriate to express fear. If we went around rushing headlong into life in fearless ways, well, we wouldn't have to exercise our faith. So it's normal and healthy to worry about that exam coming up and all that test at the hospital, or whether the bills are not going to get paid this month. But what isn't appropriate is allowing fear and worries to trouble you and to seize your mind. In allowing fear to seize your troubled mind, we allow it to seize our hearts, our faith, our lives. This wonderful part of Amazing Grace is the promise that Father God's grace can relieve your fears if you cast your care upon him, and if you leave your worries and fears at the foot of the cross. Oh, how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. When I gave my life to Jesus during the Billy Graham crusade in Chesterfield in 1984, I remember being blown away by the fact that not only had my sins been forgiven and I had the assurance of eternal life, but I had a direct line to Father God. I could talk to him about anything in prayer and cast my cares upon him. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy, oh, but not for me. You see, I went on picking and choosing what I prayed about and what I worried about. And the hymn so often played at Billy Graham events says it. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And the hymn goes on to remind us, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. 25 years later, oh, I'm much better. And yet I'm still learning to rely on his amazing grace, to allow it to abound in my life and my trials. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me here thus far. And grace will lead me on. I was born with my dukes up, fighting for my life. And with Father God's grace, I won the battle. The first of many to come. Not surprisingly, each battle I've fought, each trial in my life I've had to face, more often than not, I've had to try to go it alone. And I've been well into the battle, and sometimes battle-scarred and weary, before I have let go and let God. Oh, what a crying shame. Oh, what peace I forfeited. or what needless pain I bore. It's only by maturing in my faith, and by looking back on my life and seeing Father God's hand on my life, and the evidence of his grace abounding in me and in my life, that I've come to a place of peace, pain-free and in the perfect state of grace. For only by his grace can I write these words. Only by his grace am I here to tell his story. Only by his grace have I come thus far, and can I only carry on by his grace. Only by his amazing grace. And when we've been dead 10,000 years, bright, shining like the sun, I've no less days to sing God's praise than when I first begun. I believe that when our Lord Jesus Christ walked among us, knowing full well what his fate would be, that he also had to draw on his Father's grace, when, for instance, he was tempted by Satan in the desert, when he knew one of his closest friends would betray him, when he pleaded with our Father to take this cup from me, and pleaded with him, is there no other way? The clearest evidence I see of Father God's grace abounding in Jesus' life is in the run-up to his death on the cross. In particular, when he said, oh, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Not only was he willing to die that horrible death on the cross for their sins and ours, but by his Father's grace he was able to forgive them, then and there, as he was crucified. Oh, no greater love, no greater forgiveness, no greater grace. In dying on that cross, our Lord Jesus Christ, as he promised, reconciled us to Father God in the forgiveness of our sins and the assurance of eternal life with him and his Father, and the promise that he was leaving his Holy Spirit with us to live in and among us until we die or until he returns. And it's for these reasons that I am beyond a shadow of doubt that I will be singing Father God's praises with the angels for all eternity. I know that sounds like a rehash of a Robbie Williams song, but it wasn't intended. But it's the truth. The truth of Father God's amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. Amazing love. And for those who have not read Diane's story, you can read it. Or you can settle down for an hour or so and just listen to the audio of my story. A story that continues to be lived out through his amazing grace. I encourage you to take time to read through it and to marvel at God's amazing grace.